Thanks for listening to our podcast. We've got more information and additional resources at probe.org/podcast. And be sure to check out our life-changing Summer Mind Games Camp for high school and college students.
How do you define your worth, your value? If it's by what you have, then you're gripped by consumerism. And Kirby Anderson has some warnings now on Probe.
Consumerism is a concern within society and within the church, so I'd like to analyze both of these areas' concern by citing books that address this issue. The classic secular book on this subject is Affluenza, The All-Consuming Epidemic. An excellent Christian book that deals with the topic of consumerism in one of its chapters is Michael Craven's book, Uncompromised Faith, Overcoming Our Culturalized Christianity. What is consumerism? Well, many people use the terms materialism and consumerism interchangeably, but there is a difference. Consumerism is much more than mere materialism. It is a way of perceiving the world that has affected all of us, especially Americans, young and old, rich and poor, believer and non-believer, in significant ways. Essentially, it is a never-ending desire to possess material goods and to achieve personal success. Others have defined consumerism as having rather than being. Your worth and value is measured by what you have rather than who you are. It is buying into a particular lifestyle in order to find your value, your worth, and dignity. As Christians, we should be defined by the fact that we are created in God's image and have intrinsic worth and dignity. Now, even secular writers see the problems with consumerism. The writers of Affluenza say that it is a virus that is not confined to the upper classes, but has found its way throughout our society. Its symptoms affect the poor as well as the rich. Affluenza infects all of us, though in different ways. The authors go on to say that the affluenza epidemic is rooted in the obsessive, almost religious quest for economic expansion that has become the core principle of what is called the American dream. Affluenza is rooted in a number of key concepts. First, it is rooted in the belief that the measure of national progress can be measured by the gross domestic product. Second, it is rooted in the idea that each generation must do better economically than the previous generation. And the consequences of this are devastating to both the nation and individuals. We're living in a time when the economic reality should be restraining spending, both as a nation and as individuals, but instead we have corporately and individually pursued a lifestyle of buy now and pay later in order to expand economically. As we've discussed in previous radio programs, this philosophy has not served us well. In an attempt to find happiness and contentment by pursuing the good life, Americans have indeed actually found it empty. Consumerism seems to promise fulfillment, but alas, it is merely an illusion. Consumerism does not satisfy.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. Download your free copy of Kirby's transcript, Consumerism, today at probe.org. Again, that's probe.org. And join us next time here on Probe.
Anyone looking at some of the social statistics for the United States might conclude that our priorities are out of whack. For example, we spend more on shoes, jewelry, and watches than on higher education. We spend much more on auto maintenance than on religious and welfare activities. And three times as many Americans buy Christmas presents for their pets than buy a present for their neighbors. Debt and waste also show skewed priorities. More Americans have declared personal bankruptcy than graduated from college. Our annual production of solid waste would fill a convoy of garbage trucks stretching halfway to the moon, and we have twice as many shopping centers as high schools. Americans seem to be working themselves to death in order to pay for everything that they own or want to buy. We now work more hours each year than do the citizens of any other industrial country, including Japan. And according to the Department of Labor Statistics, full-time American workers are putting in 160 hours more, essentially 1 month more, than they did in 1969. And 95% of our workers say they wish they could spend more time with their families. Now, Americans do recognize the problem and are trying to simplify their lives. A poll by the Center for the New American Dream showed a change in attitudes and action. The poll revealed that 85% of Americans think our priorities are out of whack. For example, nearly 9 in 10 said American society is too materialistic. They also found that most Americans feel that we are too focused on working and making money. They also believe that we buy and consume more than we need, and more than half of Americans said that we have too much debt. debt. The poll found that many Americans were taking steps to work less, even if it meant reducing their consuming. Nearly half of Americans say they are voluntarily making changes in their life in order to get more time and to have a less stressful life. This increase in the number of self-proclaimed downshifters, I think, suggests a beginning of a national change in priorities. Perhaps Americans are coming to the realization that more consumer goods don't make them happy. Think back to the year 1957. That was the year that the program Leave It to Beaver premiered on television. It was also the year that the Russians shot Sputnik into space. That was a long time ago. But in 1957, it was significant for another reason. It was the year that Americans described themselves very happy and it reached a plateau. Since then, there has been an ever-declining percentage of Americans who describe themselves that way, even though the size of the average home today is twice what it was in the 1950s, and these homes are filled with consumer electronics. What has been the impact of consumerism? Michael Craven, in his book, Uncompromised Faith, talks about how consumerism has undermined the family and the church. The family has been adversely affected by the time pressures created by a consumer mentality. Family time used to be insulated to a degree from employment demands. That is no longer true. We no longer hesitate to work weekends and evenings or to travel Sundays, for example, in order to make the Monday morning meeting. The signal that is really being sent throughout the corporate world is that you must be willing to sacrifice time with your family in order to get ahead. And that is exactly what is taking place. Now, sociologists have concluded that since 1969, the time American parents spend with their kids has declined by 22 hours per week. Now, I would recognize that some have questioned the study because its estimate of the decline came from subtracting increased employment hours of parents from total waking hours. But I believe it makes the point that families are suffering from consumerism, and this study parallels other studies that have looked at the decline in quality parent-child interaction. The bottom line is this. Americans may talk about family values and quality time with their kids, but their behavior demonstrates that they don't live those values. Frequently, children and their needs are sacrificed on the altar of career success. The marketplace trumps family time more than we would like to think that it does. The church has also been undermined by consumerism. Busy lifestyles and time pressures crowd out church attendance. Weekly church attendance has reached an all-time low in America. And even for those who try to regularly attend church, attendance is sometimes hit or miss. Years ago, I realized how difficult it was to teach a series in a Sunday school class because there was so little continuity in attendance from one week to the next. Michael Craven points out that those who are dissatisfied with a consumerist-created lifestyle turn to church for meaning and purpose. Unfortunately, they think that by integrating a little religion into their lives, they will balance and perfect this lifestyle. Tragically, they do not realize it is not their lifestyle that is in need of salvation. It is their very souls. Consumerism also affects the way we go about the Christian life. Religious consumerists add spiritual disciplines to their life in the same way they approach work, as a task to be fulfilled with measurable goals. In the end, spiritual activity becomes one more item in a to-do list. Michael Craven reminds us that Jesus Christ is not to be treated as one good among many. Jesus Christ should be the supreme good and the source of all life. What has been the impact of consumerism? Michael Craven, in his book Uncompromised Faith, talks about how consumerism has undermined community and how it has also undermined virtue and character. With the increased priority given to the marketplace, there follows a decreased commitment to neighbors, community, and connections to extend family. Children are displaced in pursuit of opportunities, and familial priorities become subverted to company demands. This has an adverse impact on citizenship. Consumerists are no longer citizens, but consumers. Citizens have duties and responsibilities to their fellow citizens. Consumers do not. They're merely partaking of what the consumer economy provides to them. Citizens care about others in their community. Consumers only care about what the society can provide to them. Christian philosopher Francis Schaeffer predicted that as society moved from the death of God to what today we would call the death of truth, there would be two things left: personal peace and personal prosperity. Schaeffer argued that once Americans accepted these values, they would sacrifice everything to protect their personal peace and affluence. Consumerism also undermines virtue and character. It shifts the objective of human life away from cultivating virtue and character than being content to an artificially constructed and even idealized lifestyle that is continually reinforced through the media, entertainment, and advertising. Now, with this view of life, things become more important than people. Having is more important than being, and it is a lifestyle that pursues distraction through sports, entertainment, and hobbies, almost in an effort to keep from thinking about the real world and its circumstances. And as we have already noted, consumerism does not satisfy. In fact, it can be argued that a consumerist mentality puts us in an emotional place where we are perpetually discontent. We are unable to rest in that which is good because we always want more. This is made even more difficult in our world where advertising images provide a seemingly endless series of choices that are promoted to us as necessary in order to achieve the perfect life. Michael Craven points out that when Christians talk about being content, this is often ridiculed as really willing to settle for less and even condemned as lazy, defeatist. Instead, we are spurned on by talk of doing all things to the glory of God, which can be oftentimes used to justify a consumerist mentality. We live in a culture that encourages us to buy more and more. No longer are we encouraged to live within our means. We are tempted to buy more than just the necessities and tempted to spend more on luxuries. The Bible warns us about this. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He who loves pleasure will become a poor man, and he who loves wine and oil will not become rich." You know, in our lifetimes, we'll have a lot of money that flows through our hands, and we need to make wiser choices. Consider that a person who makes just, say, $25,000 a year will in his lifetime have $1 million pass through his hands. The median family income in America is twice that. That means at least $2 million will pass through the hands of the average American family. A tragic aspect of consumerism is that it is never enough. There is always the desire for more because each purchase only satisfies for a short while. Then there is the need for more and more. Essentially, it is the law of diminishing returns. Economists use a more technical term, the law of diminishing marginal return. Simply put, the more we get, the less it satisfies and the more we want. Once again, the Bible warns us about this. Haggai 1, verses 5 to 6 says, "Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough for you to become drunk. You put on clothes, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to be put in a purse with holes." We should also be responsible citizens. A tragic consequence of consumerism is what it does to the average citizen. James Kunstler, in his book, The Geography of Nowhere, believes that we have mutated from citizens to consumers. He says that consumers have no duties or responsibilities or obligations to their fellow consumers. Citizens do. They have the obligation to care about their fellow citizens, about the integrity of the town's environment and history. America was once a nation of joiners. Alexis de Tocqueville noted this in his book, Democracy in America. Americans would join in all sorts of voluntary associations, but we seem to no longer be joiners but loners. Sure, there are still many people volunteering and giving their time, but much of this is on the run and we shuffle from place to place in our busy lives. Christians are called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're also called to be the ambassadors for Christ. We must resist the temptations of consumerism and instead focus on active involvement in society.